So there we go. So our scripture lesson for this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. So to hear what Peter says about Christ. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In just a minute, because I forgot to start my video. So please forgive me for that. But we will get going.
I started to tell you, but
that's all right. Well, you know what? Howdy, everybody. Sorry I forgot to turn you on for the scripture. But just know that it's 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22. So if you want to look that up before you go on with the rest of this, you can. So this morning, I have a friend with me, and that is Kermit the Frog. Yes. The reason that I have Kermit with me is twofold. One, I came up with a connection for the sermon, and it worked really well with Kermit. Two is that, anybody have Disney Plus? All right. So this week, one of the best shows ever has been added to Disney Plus, and that is The Muppet Show from back before I was born. I think it ran until I was born. But anyway, such a goofy, silly little show like Saturday Night Live, but with puppets. And it's just a really fun thing. But it made me think about what is it about the Muppets that always appealed to me. And I think it was their sincerity, their earnestness, their funniness as well. But the fact that they could take, you know, little kind of silly things like, you know, a frog with a, you know, a fringe and make it into something that you care about, right? And so it made me think about when I was growing up, we had the town I grew up in, a little bitty place, we had one AM radio station, okay, that you could pick up the next one down the road as well. But you had WTOE. The Tow River was the river that ran through town. And so we had WTOE, and WTOE played various things over the years. But one of the DJs, the main DJ at WTOE, was Mr. Eichert. And he went to our church, and Mr. Eichert always, when he would sign off, would play a song. He would play The Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog, right? And he would encourage you at the end of his shift to keep searching for the Rainbow Connection. And so this morning it made me think about, we're talking about the flood, and we're talking about Christ's love, and we're talking about promises, and we're talking about salvation. And it really just made me think about that song. So in case you don't know it, let's see if I can find it. Okay, goes like this. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Now, I love this song just because I love the Muppets. But beside that, I think it fits, and here's my reasoning. So, our scripture today says that Jesus died once for all. Right? And we get that and we say, yeah, of course he did. He died for me, even though he died a whole long time ago. Right? That part we get, right? We get that Jesus died for all the people going forward. And I think the reason is because that's about us. right? We tend to, and it's not that we're selfish or any more selfish than anybody else, but we tend to get the things that are about us, right? I understand things about me more than I understand things about somebody else because I know me, I've lived with me, right? And so, but what when Jesus said, or when Peter says that Jesus died once for all, what about those people in the past, right? What about the people who died before Christ came? What about those that Peter references in the scripture, right? The people who were there before the flood and they didn't listen and then got washed away by the floodwaters, right? What about them? What about Abraham and Sarah and all these others who trusted God's promise but didn't know Christ, right? These are the sort of questions that come up when we talk about things like remembering that Jesus is the way to the Father and things of that nature, right? It asks some difficult questions, and sometimes these are the kind of questions that you get in your theology class in college, okay? The fun stuff I get to do with some of my students, okay? But also, sometimes these are questions that we want to legitimately ask, right? What if we have a loved one who wasn't able to mentally make any sort of connection with who Jesus is? Right? What if for one reason or another, either a limitation in their mind or circumstances of life, they never were able to make the connection with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Does that mean that they're somehow forever lost, right? What is it? Are there limitations to God's grace, or are there no limitations to God's grace? I think that what Peter is talking about this morning puts us at that crossroads, right? And how does that work? If Christ died once for all, what does that mean? So I want to bring your attention back to the Apostles' Creed, and I promised that I would. So you may have noticed, as it was up on the screen, you have asterisks, right? As you're going, right? There's double asterisk for the Catholic Church, little c, right? Not meaning Roman Catholic, but meaning universal church, okay? But there's also a single asterisk. Does anybody remember what that's about? That may not be up there. I didn't look at the right time because it was over there. But in the Apostles' Creed, we say, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, right? We just pop right through that, right? Okay. Well, if you go to 881 in your hymnal, right, you'll find that there's an asterisk there. And it says, traditional use of this creed includes these words, he descended into hell. Now, you say, whoa, wait a minute, right? That's kind of one of those that kind of makes you step back types of things, right? The Apostles' Creed traditionally had the words, he descended into hell there. Now, there's a couple of things that we should know about this. One, that Christians disagree over whether or not to include that, hence the asterisk. In our hymnal, right? So Catholics leave it in, okay? Some Protestants do as well. Others just cut it out entirely and pretend it was never there. Methodists, we do the middle thing of everything, right? We don't go on this side, we don't go on that side. We're like, let's put an asterisk in there. So we stuck an asterisk in there and said, you know, some people put that in there. We're not going to tell you one way or the other, right? Typical Methodist type thinking. But that's what we did. We put it in asterisk. And there's a reason why that happened, right? When you hear those words, right, you have a visceral reaction, right? You say, oh my goodness, I don't want to think about Jesus in hell, right? That's for bad people. That's for sinners. Jesus didn't sin. I don't like that, right? And so there's that part. But then there's also arguments, right? There's some theological arguments about Jesus' divine nature, right? Since Jesus is fully human and fully divine, then if he goes to hell, even to save people, to rescue people, then does he need to bring his human body along, or is it just his spirit? Can he separate those things? And this is angels dancing on a pin territory, okay? Okay. But these are things that theologians argue about. And sometimes that's where the asterisks come from, okay? But Christians have embraced this idea before, okay? There's one of the fun things that I get to do at school is that I get to teach students about some of the redemption theories, okay? And what it is that Jesus does in saving us. Okay, whether that's, you know, you've probably heard penal substitutionary atonement, those sorts of things, right? But there's one that was very old. One of the earliest traditions about what Jesus did in order to save us, and it's called the ransom theory. And now, whenever I talk theology, note, theology is a study and a guess, right? Anytime somebody like me stands up in front of you and tells you what God thinks or how God works, no, it's our best guess, okay? So with that big, massive caveat, okay, early church folks made this argument that the way that God saved humanity was that that Adam and Eve had sold out humankind to the devil when they accepted the fruit from the tree of knowledge, right? And that as such, God had to figure out a way to get humankind back. And so Jesus, being human, right, fully human and fully divine, God offers Jesus in exchange for humankind. Not just the ones that have already died, but the ones in the future. And that Jesus, that God offers Christ, that the devil takes the bribe, all those people get freed, but when Jesus goes there, right, when the devil tries to take possession, he can't because Jesus is God, right? And you can't keep God, right? Nothing can contain Jesus, right? We have the songs, death can't hold him, nothing can hold Jesus, right? He holds the keys of hell and of death, all that fun stuff, right? All these things that we believe, right? And so it works, right? So the thought process was that during that time between Jesus' death and his resurrection, that he wasn't just laying around, that he was doing something, that he led a commando raid to the prison on hell, and he frees all the spirits that are trapped therein, right? Now, it's exciting, and I can't believe nobody's made a movie out of it yet, okay? But nobody has, and maybe that's what I need to do. But I think Peter has something like this in mind when he's talking about Jesus making proclamations to the spirits who in previous times didn't obey. Right? Now, most of the time we like to think of things as limited by time, right? Once I've done it, I can't undo it, right? That's how time works for us. It goes in a line. But God doesn't work that way, right? What if our God, who is not limited by space, who is not limited by the physical body, who is not limited by any of the things we're limited by, is also not limited by time. The beauty of this idea is that, Peter says, Jesus didn't even let those who had been disobedient in the past go without the opportunity to hear the good news. That Jesus even allows those who were washed away by the floodwaters to have a chance to be washed in the waters of baptism. Now, that doesn't always fit with the way we like to do things. Like I say, right? We've grown up with, if you walk outside and get hit by a bus, that's the end of everything and you don't have any more chances, right? Okay. But what if? What if God's love is not limited by our rules of time? What if God's grace can reach into our past, why not the past of others? Right? Think about this. When I'm baptized, or when I feel Christ's forgiveness, when I am saved, am I saved just for the stuff I do after I'm saved? No, I'm saved for the things I already did, right? I'm forgiven for the mistakes that I've made, the sins I've committed, whether I meant to do them or I didn't mean to do them. I am forgiven for those even though I can't fix it, right? They cannot be undone, but yet the grace and love of Christ covers all. So if God's grace can reach into our past, why not reach into others? And so just like the flood washed away the sin of the world, so baptism washes our sins away and the sins of all who come to the river, right? This is not deserved, right? We covered this a million times, right? I can't earn it. No matter how good I am, no matter how hard I work, I can't earn it. But that's how God operates. God chooses us and gives us wonderful gifts. Even the story of Noah, right? Noah wanted to follow God, but do we really believe Noah was without sin? No, right? What's the first thing? One of the first things he does when he gets done with the flood is he messes up, right? He's laying around naked, right? Okay, so Noah's not like this big exemplar of moral life. But God saves Noah and his family because they have the willingness to listen. So, to me, that's what the rainbow, this is where Kermit comes back in, this is what the rainbow was about, right? God promising, I'm never going to destroy the world again, even though I know you're going to mess up. Even though I know you're going to do the same stuff again and again and again. God showing us through a visible symbol of the rainbow that he forgives us. And something about rainbows that has always been fascinating to me is that rainbows, depending on how you're looking, where you are, they look different, right? That's why there's so many songs about rainbows, and that's why we can't find the end of the rainbow, we can't find the pot of gold and all that kind of stuff, because depending where you are, the rainbow is in a different place. And it looks different. If you're standing in the right spot, you can get a double rainbow, right? You can see it in both directions, and it's amazing and beautiful. And all of that comes because of the light from the sun going through water droplets, right? Comes, scientifically speaking, it comes into those water droplets and it separates into all the beautiful colors that we can't see normally, right? We just see the light. But in that light is all the beautiful colors of the spectrum. And because the water is there in the air, it changes that light and turns it into all these beautiful colors. And once again, we're reminded of the beauty of creation that's there if we just have the right perspective. And so, here's the deal. Do we need to believe necessarily in a commando raid on hell? No, it's not a. That's not an essential for your relationship with God, right? But I ask you to say, hey, look, take everything that you hear scientifically, theologically, and run it through your brain, run it through your heart, run it through your soul, run it through the scriptures, and say, hey, how does this work? Does this fit? Does it make sense? And be open to hearing new things. So I thank you for listening to some of my ramblings this morning. But also, I want you to think, just like the rainbow comes from light from above and gets separated into these amazing colors, and you see it because of your perspective, so too is God's light being offered to us every single day, right? And depending on our perspective, we see it in different ways. And if we decide we can shut ourselves off completely from that light, we can get the light-blocking curtains and all this kind of stuff. But even then, a little bit of light gets in. Because there is no such thing as darkness, right? There is only the absence of light. And there's always a little bit of light. You know this because when you turn off the lights at night, right? There's a second where you can't see. For some of us, a longer period of time. I can't see for like 20 minutes. But there's a long period of time, maybe. But then you realize, oh, there's the dresser. I can see the window, right? I can see the pillow now. Why is that? Because the darkness wasn't really dark. No matter where we are, no matter whether we are living in a hell that we developed of our own, whether we're living in the world that we've always wanted to be in, whether our world seems dark and hopeless, or whether everything is washed away by the flood of life, we know that God promises us restoration, healing, love. So whether you prefer the commando raid on hell or whether you prefer the asterisk, rejoice that we serve a God whose grace extends in all directions, whose grace takes a storm and makes something beautiful, whose grace takes ashes and dust and makes us in all of our beauty and all of our wonder and all of our struggle. That God, when you look at water, right? What happens when you toss a rock in? The ripples, right? The ripples extend in all directions. So it is with God's grace. How amazing it is that we serve a God that has offered us grace in all directions without price. So, what is the rainbow connection? I believe that the rainbow connection is the grace that we are offered, that God that extends beyond all boundaries of time and space, that God that spoke to Moses in a burning bush and spoke to Jesus as he was coming up out of the water, right? That same God who spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, that same God who has spoken in your heart and has offered you salvation. Always the same. Always love. So we keep searching for that rainbow connection. We hear the voices calling our name. And folks, I believe that just like in the song, we've heard it too many times to ignore it. So we can find it. Only if we're willing to look. Only if we're willing to see the love that Christ offers us. The beauty of Christ's light in our lives, shining on us all the time. So that we can be ready to bless others this Lenten season. Amen.